World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So where's Phil Collins when I need him? You say, what? Yeah, where's Phil Collins when I need him? You remember that, don't you? I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. Something going on, folks. Something going on. And something going on in the church. Something going on outside the church. Something going on in the government. Something going on with the government. The Lord is making a move. I sense it deep inside of me. And man. So down here in New Orleans, as they say, and it's going to be a little bit of a convoluted show because I can be on the air here in the house here for about 15 minutes, and then we got to get in the car and head to the airport. And I'm going to try, I'll keep monitoring it. I'll still be part of the show as we're traveling. You get what's going on, but we'll turn it into a Friday flea flicker or whatever, and just try to get some opinions out there, some different stuff that's going on. Because, friends, I know you know this, but I just want to reemphasize this. I woke up about 45 minutes ago, and I'm on Central Time now, so I'm out there at the same time Chad and all the, you guys get up early, and I understand that feeling of getting up early. And I try to do some show prep and try to find things that I think are really germane to what we're talking about and things that I think are important. And I don't try to bring up divisive things, although a lot of times they become divisive, don't they? The whole debate again yesterday with eating shrimp and all that kind of stuff. And man, that I think these things are healthy discussions. And I enjoy having those healthy discussions. But we can, boys and girls, we can't take up swords against each other. Again, as the scripture says, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, for do engender strifes. Look, here's what I believe in my life and in my walk. I have the Holy Spirit of God inside of me. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. I'm talking about me personally. And I said to my wife last night, if I'm doing something that is against what the Lord would have me to do, I think he's going to tell me. I think he's going to tell me. And sometimes people can prompt you, say, hey, Coach, have you thought about this? And even when people who I respect bring stuff to me, I still take it to the Lord. I need the amen from the Lord in my life. That's just kind of the way I live. And again, I think it's kind of the way that sometimes, this sounds so awful. I'm just trying to be straight, okay? Sometimes we get in the mess because we get personal words from people, personal words. And if it doesn't line up with what the scripture says, we take it to heart. Now, truth hurts, man. Truth hurts. And in our own lives, as we try to look at our lives and evaluate our lives, and somebody's told us something and it kind of is like a pebble in your shoe, well, maybe that's truth working on you a little bit. And I thank God for everybody in here. And I hate the word diverse, but I love everybody and the different ideas that they have and different beliefs and different things they think about. And I think that's really, really healthy. And I think we need to be able to come in here and discuss those things and throw that piece of meat on the table and chew it up and spit it out. But we got to walk away from here, friends, because the people in this queue, they ain't your enemies. They're just not your enemies. And sometimes I get in a little bit over my head. Like I try to tell everybody, I'm not a theologian, man. Everything that I've learned from somebody else. I picked it up reading. Somebody showed it to me. Somebody taught it to me. There's a lot of things that I'm still working out my salvation with fear and trembling. And I just pray that each one of us give that grace gift to our brothers, man. They're not where you are. You're not where they are. I mean, you're not where they're going to be, and they're not where you're going to be. I mean, it is the reality of it. But I love the show because I love the controversies that we bring up that surface to the top, if we will. And I'm going to get into one of those here in a minute. As soon as I can find somebody who will read the prayer that Craig set up for us.
I will, Coach. I'll read it.
All right, Dave. Thanks for that. And again, folks, we're praying against the forces of darkness. Man, we're in the midst of something. I don't know if you guys have been following this or not. we got some banks that are crashing. You know that? There's some banks that are crashing. Oh, yeah. Right now, they're not saying too much about it, but it's going on for sure. And I was just reading something today. They said that the gold and silver market hadn't even begun to take off yet. That all this debt that is out there, when it hits the fan, baby, we're going to be shocked about what's going on. So, a lot of stuff I want to try to talk about today, or maybe not even over the next couple of days. But so we're coming at the end of this window that Craig's had us focusing on. And Dave, if you would just go ahead and pray that prayer, brother.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Passover prayer of remembrance and protection.
Amen.
April 19th to May 2nd. We praise and honor you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, our Redeemer and Lord, in the Hebrew name, Yeshua. You are lifted up and sit on the right hand of the Father. As we approach Passover this year, we call upon your name to be honored and lifted up high. The beautiful story of God's redemption plan for mankind before the creation of the earth, as we remember your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary during this year's upcoming Passover celebration. Hallelujah. Almost 2,000 years ago, we as your body of believers come and pray in unison, asking for your Spirit to move mightily upon the earth from April 19th to May 2nd.
Yes,
Lord. We're in precarious times as war looms over the Middle East and the lands of Israel. Confusion and conflict overwhelm the Holy Land at this time. The very Prince of Peace, you, Lord Jesus, are not positioned in the hearts and minds of the world leaders across the earth. Yet, as stated in John chapter 1, 2 through 3, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Psalm 2 states, why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain, a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed, saying, amen. Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. Father, as you laugh and distress them in your deep displeasure, give ecclesia the wisdom, strength, courage, boldness, empowerment of your Holy Spirit to be in one accord.
Yes, Lord.
In prayer, but also in action in the days ahead, in the month of May. As the enemy, rulers of the world are brought to naught, we thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, your Son, and perfect sacrifice to bring mankind back to redemption with you, our King, our hope, our salvation. May you find favor in our sight, in your sight, and let it be so, and let it be so.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen. Victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. Because he washed me. I can't remember that song, but you're with me, right? We're marching to victory. Onward, Christian soldiers. That's where I am. Hey, by the way, I forgot to put it up on the screen today. Saturday Night Live this weekend again. Saturday Night Live. And those of you who came last week, man, we would love for you to come and bring a friend again. Fellowship is rich, and we want to do all that we can to try to infiltrate our local bodies, get more people involved, understand what's going on, get Christian people cream to rise to the top. So this Saturday, again, 6 o'clock, the address is on the screen. Bring a friend with you. If you missed it last time, you're still invited. If you couldn't make it, if you made it last time and can't make it this time, we understand. But please try to join us on Saturday night. I got a couple things I want to do real quickly because I got to run out here in my car in about 5 minutes. I got a couple emails yesterday after yesterday's show, and rightfully so. So I want to, this is a mea culpa. When I said Jesus was flipping them off. Now, folks, of course Jesus Christ wasn't flipping him off. It was an allegory. It was an analogy. It was an understanding that the dude was mad. And I got thinking about it. If somebody, me, if a clunk like me were to go into into the Sadducees and the Pharisees. These guys are getting ready to crucify me. I knew they were getting ready to crucify me. Jesus used brood of vipers, whitened sepulchres full of dead men's bones and all corruption. Those were the words in the, those are pretty harsh words, folks, in those days. Those are pretty harsh. And so when I said he flipped them off, that's what I was saying. He didn't flip them off. I mean, I don't even know if that word existed. I don't even know if the middle finger existed. What I was getting to see was the attitude in his heart. He was flipping them off. He was saying, who do you think you are? Isn't it, folks, when you give somebody the bird, isn't that really what you're saying? Who do you think you are? That's what you're saying. So I didn't want anybody out here that, oh my God, start a email chain of Coach Dave saying Jesus flipped people off. You laugh. That kind of stuff happens, friends. It happens here. So I want to say, if anybody was offended by that, I apologize. But maybe better than saying flip them off, he insulted them. He insulted them, folks. He called them names. I'm going to play a clip here. And we may have to, I'll keep it around. If I have to get up and roll out of here in the next few minutes, you'll get it. I want you to pull up for me if you can. Oh, that's yesterday, I think. Bear with me, Spence. I'm sorry, man. Pull up for me. I did some show prep. I was up early this morning again. Praise the Lord. Yeah, there it is. Pull up for me. Jesus flips off. Because, folks, this is from the movie Jesus of Nazareth. And ask yourself this. See, they teach us that Jesus was lovey, 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 lovey. I'm okay. You're okay. Come to me. I forgive everybody. It's all good. Blah, blah, blah. Folks, this dude, there's something about this guy. And what we would call today righteous anger. So this is Jesus Christ. He's just healed a blind man, as you'll see. And what's the religious folks come and getting? And somebody help me out here and see if you don't think maybe, and if I use the wrong vernacular, see if maybe Jesus ain't flipping these folks off. Go ahead.
I can see. I can see. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, Master? That I may believe in him. You're seeing him. It is he that is speaking to you. I believe. Lord.
Make way there! Make way, the priest is coming!
Out of the way! Clear the way, the priest is here!
Is here.
This lying cheat was never blind.
What?
We of the temple lying? Know that he only pretended to be blind in order to earn his living.
He's right, he's a liar.
I've known him a long time. He's never been blind.
And what's your story? That you can give sight to the blind?
I came into this world to give sight to those who cannot see. And to take away sight from those who can.
What do you
insult
mean
number one?
That we who are righteous are blind.
If you were blind, you would be without sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains.
That's true.
Insult number two.
This man was through the devil. No.
Freeze it a second. Freeze it. Folks, notice the anger that people display because he personally attacked them. Look how mad it makes them. Go ahead.
Who do you, scribes and Pharisees? Hypocrites all!
Insult three.
For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You do not go in yourselves. Nor do you let others enter.
And so
blind
four.
Blind guides.
Five.
You strain at a gnat and swallow a camel.
sticks.
You bow before the letter of the law and violate the heart of the law.
Seven.
Justice, mercy, good faith. You are like whited sepulchres, all
seven,
clean
eight.
And fair without, but within, full of dead men's bones and all corruption.
9, 10, and 11.
You see these stones, do you not? I tell you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Yours is a house of desolation.
13.
The home of the lizard and the spider.
14, 15.
Serpents, brood of vipers.
17.
How can any of you escape damnation?
19.
You shall not see me here again. Not until you learn to cry. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For I and my Father are one and the same.
Freeze it. Freeze it. That's 20 pretty good ones, wasn't it? That's 20 pretty
wow,
good for
wow,
us.
Wow. Wow.
Right?
And amen. See,
when we take the emotion out of Christ, or we just read the word, and we take the emotion. Again, can you imagine this, folks? This is like walking into the Supreme Court of the United States and giving them the devil, right? That's what he did. You think he didn't know these guys were getting ready to that they were going to crucify him? You don't think he knew it? And you wouldn't think that if you're going to go before him and they're going to crucify you, you ain't going to watch your tongue? You're not going to try to gain favor with him? He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly who he was talking to. And he knew exactly what he was saying. This, see, when we take the wrath of God out of Christ, man, we miss a lot of it, man. Miss a lot of it. That guy had some guts, huh? He had some guts. And so I was doing some research. I'm going to have to get in my car and get rolling here a minute. So I'm going to turn it over to some of you. But I did a little bit of research, Spencer, to see if you can find it in there. And somebody can help me out because I can't really see it very well. How many times in the Bible God gets mad? How many times, by the way, anybody want to do a poll for me and find out how many people God killed in the scriptures? He's killing them left and right. Because remember, it's the fear of God that drives us to repentance. And what has happened to us? Evil men have crept in unaware, and now it's the love of God, not the wrath of God. And we are warned to flee the wrath of God. And boy, somebody walked in the pulpit and did that today. Can you imagine? Can you imagine they drag you out of the pulpit and throw you out of the church? Jesus, love, 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 mercy, 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 grace, 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 grace. And there he is. He walks. See, Jesus was prophetic because what did he do? He spoke truth to power. You know why they crucified him? They didn't crucify Jesus because he was going against their religion. They couldn't wait to crucify him because they wanted to get even with him for what he had said about them. So when I said the other day, yesterday, that he flipped them off, I didn't mean he flipped them off. But hey, you could put cuss words in there. It'd been the same thing, right? Could have been. Made him just as mad. He had to run, and they hunted him down, crucified him. Point being what? Bible says, are you guys ready? Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And how is it, Christians, kind of where I want to leave it today as I walk out, get in the car. What are we supposed to do with the wrath? What are we supposed to do when we see things go on that we know ticks God off? Ticks God off. Do we have the power to forgive things that violate God? Do we have the power to forgive them? To say, that's okay, accept it. Oh, that's okay. Jesus loves them. What? Are you tracking with me here? So that's the point that I was trying to make yesterday, and that's the point I'm trying to make today. Where is the church in rebuke? They're cutting off the sexual organs of little kids, and there's no rebuke. No rebuke at all from the church. It's crazy, man. Crazy. Chad, whoever's in there, grab a hold of this thing and run. I'm going to be listening then I got to get in the car if I'm going to catch my flight. I'll pipe in every now and then. Go ahead, somebody. God, somebody come on in.
Hey, I'll jump in there. Do you think Jesus forgot that it was the Sabbath when he healed the man at the pool of Bethesda? Or was he actually trying to force them to show their tyranny by healing on the Sabbath?
Hey, Jack, let me throw another one in there, Jack, that came to me yesterday. What about the woman with the issue of the blood? Weren't we commanded that the woman, when she's on her period, that you weren't allowed to be near her? You couldn't even go near her. And here she was with an issue of blood. We know what the issue of blood was, right? We know what that issue of blood was. And what did he do? He went and laid hands on her. What? Oh, my goodness. I'll shut up. Come on in.
Yeah, Korea and I are going through the Bible together. And last night we read Matthew 23. And if you go back and read that, I think I counted seven times that Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." Seven times in that one chapter. So he really dressed them down because he confronted their evilness.
He made them show their colors. He didn't pat them on the head. He didn't just walk away. He made them show their colors.
He didn't tell them seven ways to make it to heaven, did he? Did they make seven ways to heaven? Did he give them the Romans Road? He exposed to them their sin. He exposed to them their arrogance, their pride. Cost him his life. Somebody bring somebody in here. I'm hopping in the car now. There's a son.
Roger's next. Chad's not here yet this morning. He's still getting his beauty sleep.
You know, Dave, you raised a good question. Is, you know, what power or authority do we have to let someone off of their sin? I don't know if off is the right word, but, you know, I read a study once that the Lord never harshly rebuked the sinner. There was a certain amount of mercy and grace as he addressed a person who was sinning. But in Scripture, he was always, not always, but very harsh with the politicians. The sinner, I think in Scripture, for the most part, he was gracious with, merciful, and truthful of their sin. It was the politicians, the authority figures, that he was very harsh with. And I thought that was kind of a interesting study. And I think I'm getting about 90% of that study. But
it was their arrogance, Roger. It was the arrogance. See, when you get into a position of leadership, you're supposed to be merciful, right? Merciful and just. And they weren't. That's what he was mad about. And just the average sinner, the everyday sinner, of course, he didn't go and scream and holler at the average everyday sinner, but he went to those who were in positions of authority. So what the heck are you guys doing? Who do you guys think you are, right?
And he didn't go to the sinner, at least again, I don't remember the study completely, but he didn't go to them and say, "That's okay, I still love you." He pointed out the sin. He graciously and merciful told them the truth and the obedience necessary, but he didn't tell them how much he loved them and that it was okay.
And he had a wonderful plan for their life.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Yeah.
And so we're looking at a country where our leadership is in the tank, yes or no. And who is it that's supposed to be that prophetic voice that shows up and says, "Thus saith the Lord," stop it. Right.
Yeah. So these the sinners were not pretending; they were not pretentious, pretending to be righteous. God, His anger is still it's a real thing. It's present now, and it comes to us who are in the spirit when we see the same thing going on, whether it's religious elite or political elite or anyone who's violating their role as an authority, and they're taking it, abusing it, and exploiting people. We should be angry. We're angry in the now. Now we're angry. It's got to be dealt with.
So ask ourselves this question for all those people out there and that pastor that we heard last week. Did Jesus get involved with politics? What do you think? Did he get involved with politics? Folks, this was the government over him. This was the House and the Senate over him. And he went, represented Almighty God, and went and dressed them down. And today they tell us that we're not even supposed to be involved with it. And do you understand that when he went and confronted these guys, he signed his death warrant? You get it? Do you understand it? He knew it.
Okay, then. What about him cursing the fig tree for not bringing forth any fruit? Wow.
Boy, oh boy, huh? If we have a God that's merciful only, we've got a he's full of justice and righteousness and mercy, right? And he calls us to repentance. Why? Because we fear the wrath to come. Does the average American Christian that you know of, do they fear the wrath to come? Do they really understand how wicked and cold and dark their heart is? Do we really understand? And do we really understand that when he went and died on that cross, he had to go die on that cross? Why? Because his daddy was ticked off, baby. His daddy was ticked off. And the only way his daddy's wrath was going to be satisfied was somebody was going to pay for it. Boy, huh? It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. Didn't say that somewhere, Dale?
That's Jonathan Edwards.
Jonathan Edwards, a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. And we don't even think we're allowed to get angry. People don't like to listen to Coach Dave Live. Oh, he's always angry and always yelling. No kidding. No kidding. Because the old football coach in me, sometimes that's all people get. That's all they understand. Hey, dude, you don't keep missing that block. You ain't playing, baby. You ain't playing. And I believe there's an element of Christ in that too. Not that he's harsh and unloving and uncaring. Sometimes getting yelled out is the most loving thing another person can do for you. Somebody else, come on in. I can't see anything on the screen. I'll shut up.
I'll come in. I think, Coach, the thing I think we need to really conceptually understand that God's balanced, okay?
Yes.
That he created everything, okay? And when something's out of balance, there has to be something to correct what is out of balance to get it back into order, right? So that's, you know, what I put in this prayer, right, is, you know, God's redemption plan is he's actually going to pay for the sins of mankind to restore this relationship. But just think of it this way, right? So, you know, your car's in a parking lot, I back into it, okay? There has to be some sort of adjustment for that. You know, I just can't just run away and sit there and go, you know, I got to say, hey, coach, you know, I'll get it fixed. I'll give you $200, whatever. You know, we have to come to some sort of agreement. And so God's balancing this. And that's what the whole thing about, you know, the blood sacrifice of Cain and Abel, right? It was always about the blood. It was always foretelling us that God was going to create this perfect sacrifice that only really, I mean, he can only himself bring back his creation. And the neat thing about it is you don't see in the scriptures God doing anything for the angels or the fallen or anything. The only thing he ever does is for mankind to redeem them back into a relationship that he had with Adam. And that's what's the cool story about what makes our God, the only God, so great compared to any other religious system out there.
Hey, can you imagine the wrath that he has to this day that he gave his only son? Anybody out there ever lost a child? Heaven forbid I haven't. I can't imagine what that would be like. But he sacrificed his son only to watch us dance around it, dance on that sacrifice, make light of it. God hated sin so much that he gave up his boy. That's pretty profound, man. And so we don't take the seriousness of right and wrong. We're so grace heavy, right?
God's perfectly balanced. Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. But wrath, too. Pastor Dio, go ahead.
So this post, I'm not going to say who it's from, but it was a family member. It says, you cannot treat people like garbage and worship God at the same time. I said, this statement is true. I said, but what grieves my heart is people who treat God like garbage.
Got it backwards, right? Amen. Oh, wisdom of Dio. Come on in there, man. Save me. I'm just riding down the car looking at the sun coming up. I can't see anything on the screen.
Joe Allen's next.
Well, you know, our free speech is being sequestered. I mean, you got Elon Musk here going in front of the Supreme Court this week to explain why his business with the X is affecting the whole world. We have people that were wanting Elon Musk to be locked up because of his platform of having free speech. Enough said.
Well, it's the same thing they did to Jesus, isn't it? They couldn't shut him up, so they killed him. It's the exact same thing that's going on in America today. Those J6ers and Eva Edel and all those people that are locked up. How dare they stand up and confront the government? How dare you do that? Who do you think you are? And that's really what happens to those who stand up and speak truth to power, especially when the power cannot justify what they do. Well, they got to stick a sock in your mouth or cut your head off or drag you into court and lock you up. Nothing new under the sun. Boy, I got a lot of stuff I wanted to cover today, and I can't just because I'm in my car. Did you guys see the young girl over, was it in Sweden, where she came out and began to call what was going on as white genocide? Did you guys see that? Do you understand that that's going on? Right? Not to change the subject on you, but this is all going on right in front of us, right? And why is that happening? Because for the truth of it is, for the most part, people look at America as white, although we know that we're an ethnic blend of a lot of different things. Most people on the outside, when they look at America, they think white people. They think so. So part of the Christian ethic, the Christian white people, under assault, because why? They got to do away with us. They got to do away with us. Folks, nothing new under the sun. It's the exact same treatment that they gave our Savior. Somebody else.
John, you had your hand up. You still want to come in?
Yeah. Morning, everybody. For my fellowship church, we are reading through the Bible, and I'm in 1 Samuel, and reading the story, every time I read the story of Samuel and Saul, you know, and the king, Amalekite, and he was supposed to destroy everything. It's you know, look at what happened with Saul. I mean, in Samuel, I mean, God was pretty harsh on him. I mean, look at what ended up happening to him. And then he didn't destroy everything. So Samuel, and I'm just going to say this, kind of came in my head. He went and just killed that king right in front of him. You know, I just started thinking the word hacked him up. He wasn't just God's anger through to him to Saul. I mean, us as leaders, I mean, every time I read that, I'm saying, God, is there something in my life that's not pleasing? And it's a lot of fear. I mean, look what happened with a fear of the Lord. And the way, and like I said, it's a hard read, but the same thing, look at what King David had when he was afraid of the ark because somebody fell on it, you know? So there's a side of God that we don't want to cross, you know? And I just just kind of came up because of my reading this morning in prayer before I came on, and Samuel, like I said, and he was, like I said, he went over there and he just took that king and just cut him up into pieces from it's something to think about, guys, about God's anger. Does God get angry today? I mean, that's an Old Testament thing, but think of Ananias and Sapphira as well. So I just wanted to put that point in there.
Go ahead, Craig.
I'm on my phone. Can I get in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I tell you what, if you'll notice today, now, the new divide that's here, it's not coming, it's here, isn't so much black and white and ethnic. It is Israel, pro-Israel and anti-Israel. And the divide is there. Now, everyone's going to have to make a choice here pretty quick. Are you going to promote Zionist teaching or are you not? And that's the divide. And I know that's a hard thing for a lot of us because where we stand, who we think Israel is. But when you understand that maybe God doing this, I don't know. But when you understand who Israel really is now, post 70 AD, then that's the only way you're going to be able to understand this, because you're going to be in the middle and nowhere to go on this one. This is a big one.
Yeah, I don't think we have a true concept, nor can we wrap our minds around the impending judgment, no more than we can understand when 2 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. He reveals it by his Holy Spirit, the things he has for us. But we read a little bit about what hell might be, but man, it is going to be, and the judgment that is coming, it's kind of like this. I was telling Coach, he had told me, look, grab the wheel and start driving the show. And I said, you know, Coach, I said, it's kind of like this. You can choose to do whatever you want to do. Like, you're going to roll through a stop sign. You chose to do that. But when you chose to do that, you had in your mind, what's the worst that can happen to me? I get a ticket, right? So you have this concept in your mind of what you think your consequences is going to be. And the fact of the matter is, once you make your choice, you don't control your consequence. And you might roll through that stop sign and get T-boned and realize, well, that was stupid, right? And choices have consequences. You can choose what you want to do, but you're not going to choose the consequence. So when we think, I'm not going to serve God, I'm going to live however I want to live because he's still going to forgive me, you might be wrong. You don't control the consequences of those sins.
Boom.
Well, we had a great time with Coach. Hold on. We had a great time with Coach. Last night I brought him back down on earth. And I took him out for steak. Okay, so he went out and had steak and potatoes at the Saltgrass Steakhouse. So I said, Coach, I'm bringing your feet back down. So we put regular food back in them to send them back to Ohio. I know there's hands up, but I don't know what the order is. So whoever's running the show, yeah, is Jonathan or who?
Chad's not in here yet to moderate, but Craig or Dale, while you're on the phone driving, I think I speak on behalf of most people in here. We thank you for the sacrifice that you and your family made, and that fellowship that you gave Coach and Michelle, and some R&R that they probably badly needed. So bless you for that. And I know, Dale, you do everything unto the Lord. But bless you for your obedience.
But these little simple things like this, like in my heart and my family and Chad would concur. One of our giftings is we love to serve. Jesus in John 4, I believe it's probably, it's got to be around verse 28, somewhere in there, where Jesus said this when his disciples came and said, Lord, you didn't eat, are you not? And Jesus says, I have meat you know not of, and it is to do the will of him who has sent me and to accomplish the work. So this is our gifting. This is what we desire to do. We love. So coach, right? Now, listen, this might be nothing big, but to me, when I'm hosting someone and Coach comes downstairs and goes, man, I never take naps. My brain is always going. He said, I went upstairs and whack. I went right out. You know, well, I'm thinking, well, you know, we had a busy day on, you know, flight on Friday, and he took a nap on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we got back from the crawfish boil. He took another nap. Yesterday, we went down on a pontoon down in the swamp tour, which really was very relaxing. But Coach took two naps yesterday. Now, as a host, I'm like, you don't sleep when you don't have peace, right? When you don't have peace and your mind is going, you don't sleep. And he took two naps yesterday. And to me, it was one of the most satisfying words to hear, because I know for a man to do that is because he has peace. And I'm like, brother, I'm glad to know that you had peace. So we had a great time with him. Amen. And he brought a great word on Sunday, too. It was a great word on the kingdom.
Amen, Dale. Thank you for that, buddy. Let's see. Let me get
you
Craig.
You got the wheel? You got the wheel, Chad?
Craig, come on in.
Jesus, take the wheel, right? Well, I'm going to share, you know, since we have some open time, Chad, what I did in the after show yesterday. So I was just reading, you know, about Joshua. And, of course, and Joshua comes into the land, and it says, you know, on the first month, on the 10th day. Well, a lot of us don't, you know the Hebrew calendar. Well, the first month is Nisan, right? And, of course, the 10th day is the day that when they would go and they would take their lamb and they would get inspected for 4 days, right? Make sure it's a good lamb. It doesn't get sick. And then on Nisan 14th, that was the Passover. That was when you ate the lamb, you put the blood on the doorpost. So that's actually the day that they go in at the Jordan River and they cross over. And then as soon as they cross over, the Lord says, okay, we need to circumcise all these people, right? Because they've been in the wilderness for 40 years and stuff like that. So they circumcise them that day. Well, if you really look at the story, it would take about 7 days, you know, to get healed, kind of sore down there, right? Well, what does that take you to? Nisan 17th. Well, Nisan 17th is the 3 days after the crucifixion of Christ, because the crucifixion of Christ was on Nisan 14, right? And then where do they go? They go to Jericho, right? And Jericho, they march for 6 days and the seventh day. And kind of tucked into this whole thing about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which occurs the day after the Passover, it really ties into the story of where they went and they marched for 7 days in Jericho. So when those walls came down, it was at the end of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is a 7-day feast, right? And so tucked in the story is this beautiful mosaic that God did about these feasts and how they played out in historical events in the Bible. And so if you take that and you say, okay, let's take that whole story and let's put it in 2024, Craig. Well, what would that mean? Okay, so the Passover was Monday the 22nd, right? And so then the very next day would begin the 7 days of Feast of Unleavened Bread, which would be Tuesday of last week. So what that means is that the walls of Jericho, right, they've been marching for 7 days, are actually coming down today on April 30th. If you're just to take that and mirror it over this actual year of 2024. And I kind of found it interesting that RJ felt, you know, in the spirit, like something big is going to happen today. You know, are the walls of Jericho, you know, is the Lord going to do another great thing as he's done in the past? Well, we'll see what he writes for today. But it's very interesting that this is the days of the walls of Jericho falling today, right before May 1, Festival of Beltane, Illuminati. Pretty interesting stuff.
Amen, Craig. Thank you for that. Let's see. Trump, do you want to get in here still?
Well, what Craig just said, did y'all hear about Columbia University being occupied? They even held the janitors hostage. The students are in the building now at Hamilton Hall at Columbia University. Craig, maybe this is the tipping point for these universities today. Now, I was going to think about what Coach said about wrath, right? The wrath of God. God is love. God is wrath, right? He's both. But fear God. How do you reconcile fear love? See, everyone feared God back in the day because they knew him as wrath. Fear wrath makes sense, doesn't it, Chad? You fear wrath. That's who God is. Now the church has flipped it upside down. That's what I thought of earlier. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think it's a signs of the times. Wouldn't you agree? The indication that everything mm-hmm. that's going on, and you know, many of these videos are saying, "Is America coming? Going to be under judgment?" And you think, but we think about it. Really, we're already there. We just don't see
Amen.
It.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Let's see. Roger, come on in, buddy.
question I would pose is, I don't think it is so much that the universities are changing to support. I think it's because of the Jewish money that they're doing this. I don't think they're, if it wasn't for the amount of Jewish money that flows into these schools through development and so forth, I don't think they would be as strongly as trying to stop these protests, in my humble opinion. Anybody else agree or disagree? I think it's the Jewish money that is part of the alumni base that is forcing them to put down this revolution on the college campuses. I don't think it's because it's the crazy. Leadership is. I don't think it's because of the leadership.
Raj, I don't know if it's Jewish money, but what it is definitely has to be some type of special interest, though. That's for certain. You can see that.
Hey, Raj, they didn't let the police on campus because Columbia would not prosecute these people. At the same time, they revoked Jewish professors' rights to the university because they couldn't guarantee their safety. So now you got Jewish professors that want to teach these Jewish students that can't get in. They turned off their cards, the administration, and then they didn't let cops on to let the people out they held hostage. So it's just twisted in every way. But I agree with you about the money, Roger. Somebody's pushing a button around this country everywhere at once. And Soros, it's back to him funding all them people with new clothes coming across the border. What are they all doing in Nikes? You know, where'd they all get Nikes and nice backpacks? You know, same thing, Roger.
Well, and when these things, when this issue first surfaced about 30 days ago, you know, there was a lot, there were some just billionaires, multimillionaires that started saying, pulling money from Harvard and Yale. And they don't want that. So they're going to defend the Jewish people and the campuses because I don't think they want that money to dry up. That's why I think it's happening.
Well, if I can jump in here
real quick. Yeah, Judah, come on in.
You know, what we're seeing is a repeat of 4 and 5 years ago. What we're seeing is the Masonic groups that had this plan, what they were implementing, what they were doing, it's the control of both sides when we talk about the Uniparty. But when we get into BLM, the funding groups, you can actually go back, documented in terms of corporate money, they are investing in funding these exact same groups who are doing this at these universities today. So the same groups who funded Seattle, the same groups who funded in Oregon, same groups who funded the DC riots, who painted Black Lives Matters on in DC on the street, is the same groups who are funding this as well. And it was all orchestrated, it's all planned, and they're going to have their time drawn. But, you know, they're at it again. And is this
if I can jump in, it's part of the division, right? It used to be black and white. It used to be men and women. It used to be old against young. And now they've gone to a different direction. See, that's what General Flynn would call what? The warfare that's being fought is coming at us from so many different directions. Now, all of a sudden, the focus isn't on Muslims anymore. Now it's on the Jews, and now it's on Palestine. And this is all being manipulated to do what? Divide and conquer. Divide exactly. And conquer. And we don't understand the battle that's raging. And we see, again, Christians on both sides of this battle again. And that's what they always try to do, is pit us against each other.
It's exactly what it is, but it's the same groups that are funding it.
But why are we not smart enough? Why are we not willing to come together? Instead, we let these things continue to divide us, and we do not allow cooler heads to prevail. We're not doing the things. We're actually not unifying for the body.
I would challenge everybody on that. I think we are. Now, is there more of us? As of today, this group here is. This group is lighting fires all over the country with the light of God. and sharing that truth, and more, but as this happens more.
The VA make nobody else's birthday, but at Christmas, y'all eat the $200.
So there are people doing it, and we are the people.
Well, Judah, I'm not disputing that people are doing it, but why can't we as a whole see the thing and take action on it? Why are we not willing to take off day's work and go out there and stand? And if it takes a week to get it done, 3 weeks to get it done, whatever it takes, where are we there yet?
I will say this, Chad, that time is coming. But be patient, my friend. Keep doing what we're doing. Everybody keep moving forward and keep speaking positive.
Well, I'm just asking a question because, I mean, yesterday we had a long, lengthy discussion, you know, about eating shellfish, for Pete's sake, and the whole queue became divided, and everybody had their opinions. And look, if I'm the dark side, I'm loving that. I'm loving that. Because they say, I got y'all on these other side issues, dividing yourselves. Not uniting, saying, hey, look, I don't even care about eat what you eat. Eat what you think you need to eat. Okay? Look from the Holy Spirit. Okay? We're worried about so many of these things that are in the peripheral. They're in the peripheral, and we don't have our eye on the ball. And this is why we're pushing our own agendas and these other things, rather than saying, you know what, let's unite. Because I'm going to tell you, a lot of us want to be leaders. Many want to be leaders. But every leader was once a great follower. And if you can't even be a great follower, how can you possibly be a leader?
It's true.
Understand. Who's next? I don't want to take this thing over. Dale, come on in. Got a bunch of hands.
Well, yeah, hallelujah, Chad. You know, you think about that division, right? Divide and conquer. You know, back in the 60s, it was divided, and Coach was saying it was, you know, this one. We did Black Lives Matter. Did all of a sudden everything get resolved on Black Lives Matter? I mean, because we don't hear about it anymore. Now it's a PLO thing, right? It's this. It's always to keep people divided. And when one fire starts burning lower, right, all of a sudden that's no longer an interest, we stir up another thing to be divided over. Am I correct, Chad? Is that true in what I'm saying? It's constant, divided. It's because dare we ever come together? You know, if you have never seen the movie Bug's Life, the prophetic message in Bug's Life was that grasshopper when he came out at that thing and he says, we're going back to Ant Island because we got to keep them ants in line, because if they ever realize that they outnumber us 100-1, there goes our way of life. Chat. Boom. Ba-boom. They got to keep us divided. And when this thing settles down, hey, brother, it's not prophetic. It's common sense. There'll be another thing in which we're divided about.
Boom.
And you look at the timing of these events are generally, they're around the election season, the presidential election season, the campaign season. Teresa, come on in. Thank you. Teresa? No? Okay. All right. Let's see who's next here. We're Sheila.
Sorry. Okay. I'm on. I don't know what happened when I hit. Okay. I agree with what you guys are saying, but as far as why aren't we taking off work? It's because we're not being paid to do this, and they are. We still have bills to pay, and we still need to provide for our families, but they're being paid to do this crazy stuff. So I think the only way we can take off work is to organize and say, okay, this group is going to take off for a few days, and then this group's going to take over, because, again, we're not being paid to do this. So unless somebody can take charge of that, I don't see how we can go and counteract. Sean Fauch is doing a great job, but that is his job, is to go around the country. It's not ours. I'm not saying it's not ours, we shouldn't do it. I'm saying we're not getting paid to do it.
Well, I understand, but do you need to get paid, Teresa, to represent? Do you need to get paid? Is it? No. Can you be bought? Can you be bought? What I'm saying is, if we don't care now, when we have the time, the opportunity, perhaps, to change, to make an effect, and we're worried about, again, this is part of the grind, ladies and gentlemen. This is part of the grind.
No, I get that. What I'm saying is that we have bills to pay.
I understand your point, but I'm countering. I'm saying everybody's in the same situation. They're trying to make ends meet.
Right. That's why we need to organize and have someone in charge of who's going to take off work today.
Yeah, but then we'd argue about who's going to be in charge. All right, Rochelle, come on in.
Thank you, Chad. Hey, good morning, team. I just want to talk for a minute about the protest on the college campuses. And if I can just be honest for a second, I'm torn on this because I am a capital YES for free speech. And these people, these governors who are trying to pass laws against that's anti-Semitic. You're not allowed to say that. No. Okay. So let them set up their tents. Let them peacefully assemble. I don't even think most of these kids understand what they're even protesting. So let them. However, I say a capital no to violence. So where are the ones who are supposed to be bringing the balance to this and letting them have their free speech in a constructive way where no one is getting hurt, where this is what America is about? I can understand why people are upset. I mean, we're up to what, 40,000 women and children being blown up? I mean, yeah, I'd kind of be upset too if that was my home country. Or even if it wasn't, we should be standing up for humanity. These are civilians that are being killed. This is not a war like we picture it in our brain. And we've been so indoctrinated to stand on the side of Israel. Not that I'm not standing for Israel. I get it. However, this rebuke to Israel is because of the overkill that they're doing. And the protests are going to continue. They're going to continue whether we pay for it or not. And it is stated that this little teeny country is going to make all the nations tremble. And they're going to be, this is how they do it. This is how they are so ingrained in so much of our culture and our money. we can't help it. Thank you. I see a lot of hands up, so go ahead.
All right, Rochelle, thank you. All right, real story, bad story. Come on, everybody.
Well, I think it all comes down to pride. Pride and vanity. You know, who wants to win today? I'm kind of with Rochelle on the, you know, there are Christians that are dying over in Palestine right now. And that angers me. That really angers me. And it's this, we have to follow this Zionist propaganda and this Zionist, I'm sorry, bullshit. And I'm not a Zionist anymore. I know that the Holy Land is the Holy Land and that's God's land, but I am not in any form or way, you know, Israel is the world's capital for homosexuality. Israel has the highest percentage per capita of abortions than anywhere in the world. So, you know, I'm not the Israel that's Israel is a Zionist Israel. It's not the Israel of the Bible. So, and the protest and stuff, I think it still comes down to pride. Of course, some of it's paid for and everything like that. But anyway, it's about time to cut this show off. So I want to just say to all my brothers and sisters in this queue, God bless you. I pray that God's face shine upon you and every one of you know his peace, know his shalom. God bless you guys.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Understand this. There are paid provocateurs. There are also people paid on both sides to cause this. Okay, both ways. All right. What it is that if you have to be, what is going to be our motivation? What is it going to take to get the average Joe off the couch and into the streets? What's it going to take? When are we going to get tired of this? When are we going to unite and put our petty differences aside and say, I don't care if I'm showing up there and I'm going to stay and I'm bringing my barbecue grill and some hamburgers and I'm going to cook out there. I'm staying. I'm committed to doing whatever it needs to be done. This is what the mindset we got to get there. I don't expect everybody to join. That never has been done. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoyed the show today. We appreciate you being here. Remember to like, share, subscribe, and go to us on Coach Dave Live. Amen. Have a good day.